I welcome you all to this session on modern strategy planning, modern strategic planning in higher education. It will be some different content. There's some overlap with what I said earlier about macro trends, but mostly this is a pragmatic session about tips on how to do strategic planning, what strategy looks like and is defined by, and then we'll have an exercise at the end where you reflect on your own institution's strategy. It is being recorded again, so I have a microphone. That's why I'm wearing it, not for you. I think you can probably hear me just fine. But I will try to repeat the questions because I guess this is going somewhere and being shared. The slides have been sent to your organizers, so they are available for you all as well. Plus, my email's there. If you want anything that you see up here, there are a couple articles that are referenced. I'll give you those as well. You can just reach out to me. You read my bio. Let me give you a few more color points about strategy. I think you heard me say I went to St. Francis University. It used to be St. Francis College. It switched to a university shortly after I left. And fell in love with strategy when I took a class called Management by Objectives. And I'm looking around to see you as gray hair. You remember this when it was all the rage in the 80s. Some of you don't recall this. Come on in. We're not going to make you sit by yourself, so you might as well... what do you got? Yeah, that's fine. The Carolina game is going to start during this session, so don't. You can put it on your phone and tell me how it's going. They're playing Notre Dame at 11:15. But I took a class called Management by Objectives, and I said, I love this. Companies actually set a plan and have objectives to get it. So I wrote my honors thesis and wrote a strategy for myself, and I've followed it ever since. Because I believe in strategy. But then I went to PricewaterhouseCoopers and I got a CPA and a CMA and switched over to bankruptcy turnaround consulting. So I saw some bad strategies at work, and I also worked with companies to turn around, doing turnaround projects, and came to Carolina for my MBA. I went to McKinsey & Company and I did strategic consulting for a few years, including higher ed. Came back for a PhD in strategy, so this is a lot of strategy now. And for the last 20 years, I've been teaching strategy to executives in workshops like this, but I do a lot of strategic planning projects. And as I mentioned before, I do a lot in higher ed, too. So I do projects for trustees, for boards, for presidents, and for institutions trying to shape their strategic plans. And I also use undergraduates and MBAs in all of my projects. So I'm a professor at UNC Chapel Hill, and I teach consulting. So that's what's relevant in terms of strategy there. The topics, modern priorities for higher education, a little bit of a connection and a jumping off point from what you heard earlier. But then we'll get into best practices for strategic planning in higher ed. Then we'll have you do an exercise and share your experiences with strategy. We may end up doing this too, but we also had some discussion that was quite interesting in the last session about inter-Wesleyan institution strategy. And so I just learned that there's actually a board that is made up of representatives from the institutions. But as far as I can tell, there isn't a produced strategy for cross, like a system-wide strategy. There have been some discussions about it. There have been some efforts, but I guess it's not in place right now, which is an interesting. We did talk about that, but we didn't resolve it, obviously. We did brainstorm what their strategy would be, so we'll talk about that a little today. Okay, so again, I'm looking around here. I think about half of you are way younger than me, and some of you are closer to me, but you remember the $6 million man? I actually have analysts that I work with in preparing my slides, and they're like, what's the $6 million man? They literally see undergraduates. And then one of them goes, I think my grandfather used to watch that. And I said, yes, I think of myself more like your father's age, but you can go ahead and lump me in there. So this was in the 70s. So I write a lot of blogs. I think I have a link in the end of the slides to a bunch of them. Blogs are a really easy way for me just to give you a succinct statement with a couple frameworks and some resources. But I wrote one about how is higher education strategic planning changing? So in other words, how should we be doing strategic planning differently now than we did two decades ago? Even though the higher ed institutions look a lot like they used to. One is, so I went with this model of $6 million man, better, stronger, faster. So better is, the first one is to truly seek differentiation. Now, I spoke to that in my earlier session. But you have to even differentiate within the Wesleyan family. And you already do have a set of differentiation in terms of your, you know, religious affiliation, your moral character development, and those sort of things. But in the modern era, you can't just say we do teaching and research and service, because everybody kind of says that. So parents and students, when they're looking at institutions in a more competitive environment, are looking for what's the right fit for me. So having a really clear story about that is of paramount importance to institutions. There's not an endless supply of students, as I mentioned before. So truly seek differentiation in what you do. Focus on strategic versus operational issues. So a strategic plan should not be a kitchen sink where you put everything in, or is it everything but the kitchen sink? That's what the expression is. But, you know, I've seen strategic plans where it has every single unit and every person has to see themselves somewhere, and so much in there, it's confusing and overwhelming and doesn't really help. Here are my thoughts. A strategic plan should be really concise. You can fit it on one page. It should be very clear statements. Come on in. We'll have you join a team so you're not sitting by yourself, if you don't mind. Maybe you can just grab that one. So we're talking about the $6 million man strategy, and you probably remember them, $6 million man from the 70s, I'm guessing. I'm not trying to date you, but you look like you're closer than my age than my analysts who helped me prepare didn't know about it. But so the difference, so I don't think a strategic plan should try to have everything operational in it. We know you got to do the basics of teaching and, you know, education and service and operations, but you don't have to put it all in there. I think a strategic plan should be focused on what you're trying to change. So your real, it should be kind of like your change agenda. And so strategic issues are major things that require attention, new resources, not just maintaining. So even though I'll get to it later. We have a brainstorm strategy for all the Wesleyan universities. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But it shouldn't be operational. So don't try to put all the operations, unless there's a big change in operations. You wouldn't put it in the strategy. The other thing is to tackle the hard challenges. And so these are things that we talked about before. So the hard challenges, what do you remember? What do you think the most important challenges are that you need to address? Enrollment? Fiscal challenges, and taking care of your people, mental health of your students and your staff and your faculty. So those have to be addressed in your strategies. How can it be stronger? I'm a big believer in succinct strategy statements. So, you know, don't have two paragraphs in your mission statement. Now, you can have that if everybody says we have to have that, but no one's going to recall it. And the purpose of strategy is to get people excited and motivated about the strategy, so they have to be able to recall it. So it has to be short. So I'm a believer in strategy slogans, so coming up with something very concise for the mission and the vision. You should also involve your campus in the strategy process, but don't go overboard. Don't try to have 27 committees made up of 20 people who meet all year long. That's crazy. But having a survey is important, having some forums, and then have select people participate in the strategy is helpful. And you should manage the change very carefully. I'll walk you through the Cotter model of change. I'm a real big fan of John Cotter from Harvard. Basically, the things I talked about before is you have to have a really clear vision, a sense of urgency, and a really clear vision of where you're headed. Some of the people were talking about, hey, we've had some efforts in trying to do changes that you've talked about for all the Wesleyan institutions, but we haven't had a really clear, compelling vision of here's what we're going to look like and here are what the benefits are going to be if we make those changes. Without that, it's really hard to get the changes. Somebody in the earlier session said, I know John Cotter, he talks about survive and thrive. What's your take on that? Survive is when all you do is talk about cuts, and thrive is, to me, when you talk about growth. So don't just get in a conversation with your campuses about what should we cut as strategic priorities. There probably should be some cuts, but you should be making investments and trying to grow some things too. So that's what change should be about in transformation. The last bullet I have here is how can it be faster? Strategic planning should not take a year. So I've seen some take even longer. Some of you are smiling because you've experienced this. I mean, honestly, if it takes a whole year, and by the way, I also think it should only be for the next 3 years. Now, a capital campaign can go longer, but just say, what are we going to try to work on for the next 3 years? Let's get a couple priorities for the next 3 years. If you take a year to do it, you're like, what year are we in? Are we starting this year or last year or next year? Just take a semester or a summer. About 4 months is what I recommend for the strategic planning process. So shorten the strategic planning period. Keep the planning horizon down to 3 years, and also think of it as a living document. Don't try to produce something that goes all the way down to the nth degree to tell everybody on campus what they need to do. Just give them some guidance is what I believe in. So these are some thoughts about how strategic planning can be positioned different. Strategic plan, we got a spot right over there for you. It looks like we're into the transfer portal. The transfer portal is open in athletics. So you have a spot here because somebody else said, he's not talking about something I need. I'm going to the other room. So we're happy to have you join, and we'll probably lose somebody by the time I get to my next slide. And then, so anyway, where are you from?
Indiana Wesleyan.
Okay, great. And your position?
I'm the board of trustees and the chair of the advancement committee.
Great. Thank you. So we're just talking about some of the ways strategic planning is a little bit different than the way it used to be done in higher education. I'm not going to go through this in great detail, but again, these slides are being shared with all of you, so if you ever want to read through it more, and I covered a lot of these things in my earlier session. There were a couple things I didn't mention. Adult students are increasingly interested in higher education. I sort of alluded to that. Analytics capabilities are growing, so what you can do with technology and tools and benchmarking is really important. 1,200 colleges are at or approaching not financially viable, so this is a real situation. That's out of 4,000. So that's why I've said 30% have negative operating margins that really have to be fixed. Before you really do any change, that has to be a priority, if that's in your case. This is something I didn't mention before, but we have more supply of brick and mortar education than there's demand, like 20% more. They're literally oversupplied. That is all on top of the fact that we have fewer students who are coming in. So I didn't mention that earlier, but this is a big deal. This is like an industry that's oversupplied that has to have some sort of consolidation or shrinkage. Just all of those things are lining up for that. So it's very predictable what has to happen. Be more sustainable in energy use. International higher ed is growing. This is a big one, and we got on a good conversation about this, inter-institution collaboration. As I mentioned in my talk before, I think you have a unique opportunity. Then somebody in the last session said, we've been working on that, we've tried it, we haven't made a lot of progress. And someone said, that's because we don't really have authority. We don't have a governing board. You know, like I'm part of the UNC system, so we have a governing board that can dictate some mandates and actually does a strategic plan for the whole system. It allows differentiation, but says you need to show how you're making progress on certain metrics, and it has a system-wide strategy. So I don't know where this might go. If some of you serve on the inter-institution board, any of you on that board, there's a board that, so, you know, I think you meet twice a year, and I don't know what your charge is, but it seems to me you're ripe for an inter-institutional strategy, like literally a strategy for Wesleyan University for the next 3 years. And I don't know exactly what that means, but if you could produce something, come on in and join instead of sitting by yourself. See, the transfer portal's still open. All right, did I lose anybody yet? Anybody? Feelings won't be hurt. We welcome you. But anyway, we started brainstorming a little bit, and I don't want to go too far off track, but that's what the other group wanted to do. So, like, we came up with, you know, later I'll talk about a mission and a vision and how you have to have a compelling vision. And I said, what if you had a vision to grow Wesleyan education by 50% over the next 6 years. In other words, 50% increase in the number of students who are attending Wesleyan universities in the next 6 years. Like, you just set this big, hairy goal. And then you said, well, how in the world could we do that? And again, I'm talking about all of the institutions. And then you came up with three priorities, and I don't see anybody writing this down. The last group was a little more enthralled by this. But one priority is inter-university collaboration of academic offerings. You literally say all of our Wesleyan programs are open to all students, whether you're here in person, hybrid, online. You're all that way. You don't have to build every area at your campus. You can actually take advantage of faculty who offer something somewhere else. That's one priority. Another priority is joint marketing campaign. Can you imagine a national or a regional campaign about the benefits of Wesleyan education and how it transforms your life? It centers you in what's important, but it prepares you for a career. I'm making that up. But you have some sort of messaging like that. And it's like, click here for more information. And you got the Wesleyan themes, and then you can say, your choices, online or on campus. And then you see what I'm saying, a joint campaign that could be a priority of the system. And the third one is to increase fiscal resources. That would mean decrease some spend, increase some outsourcing. And somebody said maybe we could go to the Wesleyan Church with a value proposition to get more of an investment from them. Somebody else said they're not going to give you any more money, so we didn't solve that in our last group. More philanthropy or just better business practices. So I'm making all that up, but something like that with a clear inter-university collaboration is what's happening. And I'm not seeing a lot of people do it. There are starting to be some private system collaboration and the shared services, but something like that, if you could be bold and you could be a front runner in terms of doing that. I suggested this to my Franciscans in a trustee meeting, and it didn't go anywhere. Somebody in the last group said, why do you think it didn't go anywhere? I said, I didn't go through the proper channels. I didn't take it through the committee. I didn't take it through the chair. I just said in a meeting, why don't we do this? And so that's not the right way to do it. The right way is to build an infrastructure around it. And the other thing is underserved segments. Another talk that we had that's not up there on the slide, but it is a sort of a new trend. I suggested this to St. Francis, and it got shut down too. You're probably, each of your institutions, at a 50 to 60% discount rate from the tuition to what you actually get in net tuition. So there's a trend now to decrease your tuition. And I think one of your, Houghton did that? And I think the jury's still out. I think you didn't have a big marketing campaign to tell it or something. So I don't know if you've got the results yet. Right before COVID. But that is, the strategy is quite interesting. In other words, if you're saying the tuition's $30,000, but you're really only getting, let's say, $15,000, just go to market with $15,000. Yeah. Or go to market with $30,000, but say 50% discount if you're in the state of New York, if you attend. These are marketing concepts and discounting concepts. Instead of just giving it to people, because you probably have a lot of people who don't even apply thinking they can't afford it. That really does happen. So that's a pricing strategy that requires some thought. But there's probably underserved segments who would love to come but think they can't afford it, even though you give the money out. So that's just a thought on that. Okay. This is an article I wrote. Again, if you're interested in this stuff, you can send me an email, because you probably can't get this unless you're part of AGB. Time for a Strategy Refresh for Your University. Also think it's on my website, paulfrege.com. But I talked about the four priorities. And again, this is a bit more of what you heard before. I'll get to new stuff in just a minute. Purpose, products, partnerships, and profitability. Purpose needs to be really clear. In a crowded competitive market, you can't just say, we're a religious institution. You've really got to say, why is that relevant? How can it help me? What happens after I go there? You have to answer more questions. And it has to be crystal clear in terms of to parents and to students and to faculty and staff who work there. So you also have to be clear about your vision, where you're headed. The products, I covered this before, degrees, non-degrees, online, that's all got to be a real part of your discussion. Partnerships, private, public partnerships, co-curriculum development, I've already talked about that before, And then profitability, you need to have clear financials. If your operating deficit is negative, that has to be fixed, and then you can start moving into growth areas. All right. Here's another 4 P's framework. Apologies for two of them back to back. But somebody said, you know, when I started in strategy, I said, can I read one article that just tells me what's in strategy? And I couldn't find one, so I wrote this one. And it says, my idea is this is what strategy is. It's clear about the position, priorities, payments, and performance. Again, why do strategy? To help people have guiding principles for allocating resources and also to increase morale in your organization. The position has to be clear. You've already covered that. Priorities, no more than three. So I've seen strategic plans that go 5 years and have 12 priorities and 72 objectives. And you're like, what am I supposed to do with that? It's just overwhelming. Some of you are smiling like you know what I'm talking about. Get this down to three and just do 3 years. It just makes it more manageable. What are the big things that we're trying to solve for in the next 3 years? And try to have big change. Remember the 20% change. Big, hairy, audacious goals. And what should we not do? I didn't mention this to the other group, but strategy should help you say no to things. People say, hey, we want to grow our art history program. Well, do you have proof that you're going to have more students? Why do you need another faculty line? Because one of our faculty left. Too bad. That's not a good enough answer. So literally, you need to use strategy toward that's not one of our growth areas, but if you have something over here in a STEM field, then we can fund it. Strategy can tell you what not to do. Then you have to allocate resources. You can't say something is a priority if you don't put money behind it. Now, it could be you put people behind it. You got people working on it. One of the biggest areas I've seen is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Everybody's talking about that and say, well, what are you really doing about it? We're talking about it. And that's really not enough. You've got to change composition. You got to change practices. You got to put. I see a lot more institutions having a DE&I position, a leadership position. So you have to put money behind your priorities and then track. I have an example in. I think I showed a dashboard in my. Did I show it in my first session? I have it in multi-year forecasting. So if you don't see it, you can get that slide deck, where it's a dashboard that tracks all the key metrics on one page, and it's really good for trustees. You know, you can, it's like a kind of red, yellow, green in terms of progress. So you should track how well you're doing. So that's what's in strategy. Now, what are the specific statements? I know you've heard of these before, but less than 70% of institutions don't do strategy well. So a good mission statement specifies why you're here, to whom you serve, and how you do it uniquely. And you should be able to say, yeah, my university is known for this, and that makes me proud. And probably not just saying Wesleyan. You'll have to explain what that means. So what is it about your institution that makes you proud? And don't have a paragraph that you have to repeat. It has to be something really short. That's the challenge. The vision statement is where we're headed to. That's the future state. It should make you excited. And the values, and I had this slide long before the sense of belonging came out with DE&I, but I've always said values should make it clear what our culture is internally. If you want to work here or come here, you should know this is what's important to us. So that makes you belong. And I'm going to give you an example of these in a minute. The T-shirt theory suggests that they should fit on a T-shirt, and then it feeds. This is when it gets into action. Priorities, objectives, and initiatives. So that's how it gets more specific. But you need to have these general statements for people to understand. Here's an example. And I just made this up. I do a lot of working with institutions to try to shape these. This is loosely based on a couple different ones I worked on. The mission, creating leaders to impact society. So this institution was very much about leadership as our differentiation. This is in our DNA. The vision, we want to become the university students call home. Let's say this is an urban setting university, I'm making this up, and you know, it really the safety of coming to our place is really important to people. It gives them a chance that they don't really have elsewhere. So that's what the vision is. And we're going to be, you know, everybody's going to come here. We want the parents to feel their kids are safe. We want students to feel safe, taken care of. And the values are student-focused, equity, diversity, and accountability. Three priorities: a compelling vision around student success, personalized education, and athletics. Number two, research in high-impact disciplines and expanding partnerships. So I'm not suggesting this would be the right one for you. It's just a template. And then this is the one-page strategy that is the implementation plan. So each of those priorities should have some objectives over the next 3 years and have some initiatives or strategies. That's one group uses strategy. I like the word initiative. So this is when, and there are owners of those initiatives. So that's as far as I would want a strategic plan to go. I don't want you to go, you know, if they get two more built out than that, and they don't even have to get to this level, you can stop at objectives. But that gives you the clarity. Now, this is, I forgot to say this to the other group. I make strategy sound straightforward, but it's not easy because it requires trade-offs. Everybody who gets involved with it says, here, I think my thing should be a priority. I think this should be in there. And then it gets too complicated and convoluted. So you have to be rigorous in the process. Sometimes using an external facilitator can help with that, or at least a strong leader who can say, we're not putting everything in there. We're going to prioritize. But you cannot make progress on change unless this is a great model from John Kotter. You have to create a sense of urgency. Somebody in the last session said that's like external data in the business world, that's called a business case for change. But as trustees, you should ask for this. You probably shouldn't be the ones doing it. You can hire a firm to do it, or you have your president's team do it. But you should say, tell us the case for change. And I hope you're leaving this conference saying, I believe we should do something different. So tell us what you think we should do and how big of a deal. But it should be data-driven, and it should be benchmarked and externally and analyzed. You have to build a coalition, and then you've got to come up with this. And I mean an exciting vision, like the one I was talking about, you know, or even go bigger. Double the number of students in Wesleyan universities over the next 6 years. That's the six-year period goal. But then you'll have to only do the 3 years for the strategic plan. So that's the model. You have to balance short and long term. Don't try to put so much in the first couple years that it's overwhelming and unrealistic. So those are some thoughts on best practices. Here's an example. I did this strategy for the College of Arts and Sciences at UNC, which makes 80% of the institution. And it was mission, vision, and values. Think, communicate, collaborate, create for meaningful lives. It took a lot of work to get such a short statement. Reimagining the arts and sciences for the public good. That's a clear differentiator. Student focus, scholarly excellence, and strategically bold. And this was the dean of the college said, I want to do things differently. Don't come to me with boring proposals. And then there were three priorities: change the curriculum, grow the research, and tell the story. So this is a marketing and a communications priority. They had a really good program, but they didn't tell people about it. So there was a lot of work that went into this, surveys, benchmarking, but it led to a clear plan, and they've executed completely against this. They've done a terrific job. This is the definitions of an implementation plan. I'm trying to put like a 7-week strategy class into an hour here. Priority one was curriculum. So then they had four objectives, and then they had initiatives below those. And this is, I mean, maybe you've seen strategies before, but this is just a sample. And then you can see there are metrics they had associated with those. Here's one more example. This was Arizona State. I mentioned this before, measured not by whom it excludes, but whom it includes and how they succeed. Arizona State went from a sleepy R2 in the Midwest, well, I guess more West, to a global powerhouse, 30,000 students to 300,000 students in 12 years because of Michael Crow. He was a visionary leader. He set goals like this. He said, let's be different than everybody and let's take chances. Now, I will tell you, most higher ed institutions, probably including yours, are generally risk averse. We've been around a long time, but this is a time to start taking some chances and making some changes. So I just gave a lot of material to you. Any questions on any of this or reactions?
curious, the stages at which the trustees get involved.
Yeah.
Said before they approve and they have input.
Yes. So, sometimes they have input. Okay. Sometimes they just approve.
Ideally,
they would have input.
So, because this is done a lot by the administration.
The creating of this, yes.
Right.
So, good point. So, the first thing is you have to mandate it if it doesn't exist. So, what I'm going to make you do next without using your phones or your computers is to write down the strategy for your institution. And if it's completely hard, that's a signal that you haven't, either it doesn't exist or it hasn't been communicated to you. So one is, I guess one is a bit of an assessment / mandate. Hey, we need to have a strategy. Trustees should be the one saying that. And it's pretty clear, you say, if they say, oh, we have it. Well, then what is it? Show it to us. Tell it to us so that we could all recall it. All right? So one is mandate that it exists. The second one is, it's a really good question, provide input to it. In other words, you have perspectives beyond just what the campus has. You're outsiders. That's an important perspective. You attend sessions like this maybe that they haven't attended. So you should provide thoughts and input to the process. You mentioned that one. Third is to approve it, but you missed a very important one. Fourth is to monitor it. So you should, if there's one in existence, you should be saying, I want to see our progress. And in case somebody's not going to my session on multi-year forecasting, this is what I mean by a dashboard. Oh. It didn't like me switching from my slide deck. Uh-oh. I really did it now. Check the input terminal. Okay, this is what I mean by a dashboard. Everybody, you've seen these, right? Maybe, but not really, because that's my last slide. So I actually got through all my slides. But it's like, you know, it has like financial, academics, campus. Students. And it has a few metrics on each so we can see how we're doing. But all these slides are going to be provided to you afterwards. It is funny that I did get through my last slide before the team exercise. So does that answer your question? Okay. Other questions or reactions? Before you actually have to take your quiz. And you're like, what did I come into this room for? I didn't. Any other reactions? Yep.
Just a simple question. All the strategic plans that I've seen have always done the 5 years, and then they do have the who's responsible, what progresses they've made, and things like that. But if you were to ask me, you know, how much do I remember of our strategic plan, I can give you some guesses, but I probably can't lay it out for you.
Well, that's one of my messages, that a good strategic plan should have certain elements that everyone can recall so they can articulate it and live it. But having all those details, like on my second sheet of all the initiatives, no, you wouldn't be expected to remember those. That's why you have a dashboard just to show progress. But that's what my exercise is going to be. I'm actually going to give you all a sheet of paper, and you're going to write the mission, vision, values, and priorities for your institution. Without looking it up. No doing research back there. And so we did have a president in the Euro session said, I don't expect my board to know that. And I didn't really say much on it, but I think it would be good for your board to at least know the mission and the vision at a high level. Maybe not the values. Probably should know the priorities. So I guess I kind of disagree. I kind of think the board should be at least able to articulate the majority of these things. But many institutions can't do that.
Strategic plan, you would equate with vision?
I put a strategic plan would have mission, vision, values, and priorities. Any other questions or reactions? Okay. Well, that was a perfect segue because it is time for your quiz. You'll have to turn this in with your name on it for grades. You'll receive your grades by the end of the conference, and you'll see it's a pass-fail, so if you fail, you are not allowed to leave the conference. You'll have to repeat the conference. I'm kidding.
You have to stay here in Florida.
Middle school,
right? You got it.
Oh, thank you.
So fill this out without any research. Put your institution at the top. You don't have to turn it in. I'm kidding about that. It's just an exercise in, do you know your strategy? Mission, vision, values, priorities for your institution. Listen, this is what you recall them to be. Now, if you can't recall but you have some ideas, I guess you can write that down too. Some groups are like, I don't know what it is, but here's what I think it should be. Great, write that down. You know what I mean? I want it to be a good use of your time. Did he leave because I called him out? Because I yelled him? Yeah, he had his computer ready with the strategy on it, and then he left. I can't believe he hit the transfer portal. I was going to put the slide back up with the mission and vision. Yeah. Yeah, I tried that. Did you turn it off and turn it on? That's my son after he ran his first half marathon at Kiawah Island. It is funny. I told him to close his computer and he ran off. He seemed pretty confident. So if you needed a reminder of the definitions, they're there. So just a few minutes on your own, and then we'll discuss it in our table groups. Sorry, this is an individual exercise. The no collaboration.
You're just forming a partnership.
Oh, you're forming a partnership. You're exercising strategic priority number one. Okay, one more minute. Get ready to hand them to the person to your right so they can grade your test. Remember those days? I'm kidding. There's no... He's ready to do it. Okay, so in your table groups, share what you experienced as you went through that. You can share some of the content. You can share some of your context. But just talk about what the experience was like, and then we'll do some report out of all the tables. So talk in your table groups. Great.
How's the morning round going?
Going well.
Awesome.
Good participation.
Yeah.
Is there a Wi-Fi in this building? The one from my room doesn't work.
No, it does not. You can use, I can get you on this if you want.
Like exhibitors or something?
You can try it, but no.
What do you use?
I'm using this little hotspot.
Oh, that thing.
Yes. So if you go and look on there and see if you can find something that says SIM. Let's see. There it is.
Skyrom.
Click on that, and then here's your password. 6435-2641. Now, I'm not sure how far it will go, but if you need it in your room, you can take this.
I think it reaches because I was in that room.
And it was working for you?
It was working for me.
Great.
Okay. If it doesn't, you can take this, so just let me know.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Today is important.
Looks like it did.
I'll just take this.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Portable hotspot for my phone, which also has a hotspot.
Thank you.
Yes, most universities underinvest in marketing.
But not even the universities. If you're going to say to the denomination, I suggest that you take 1.5 and you take your five schools and you just sell it separately.
Like a campaign for all?
Yeah, to be like the...
That's got to be at least 250,000. I mean, companies spend 1 to 5% of their revenue. I mean, by the time you hire a firm, get the message, and then spend money on media, it could be 300,000. But if it's all five, it might even be bigger. But that's the kind of... It's a really important thing to do.
Funding from the denomination to help them.
Right, to help subsidize. That's right.
So hopefully
theoretically, yes, that's where the ROI would come in. I mean, it could be up to 500,000.
Yeah. Okay,
but you run numbers on that. 100,000 to hire somebody, maybe 150, and then twice or three times that by the time you put all the media for a couple for like a year long promotion.
Okay.
All right. About 30 seconds, and then we'll report out.
Yeah.
Okay, let's report out some really good discussions at each table. This table doesn't want to report out. They want to keep on. You guys are definitely the most energized group. This is my pensive group. Very thoughtful discussion. And they're all trying to figure out how they can get out of the room. Just kidding. So let's start with our energized group. What are some of the topics or insights that you had from your discussion about strategic planning, about the strategic plans at your campus, or anything else that came up?
One big thing that came up was Houghton's a year into a new presidency. We're 3 months into a new presidency. And so there hasn't been the big new strategic planning session since that transition.
Right.
So, we'd be interested to hear your perspective on when you've got that kind of leadership transition.
Yep.
How do you apply what you thought?
So was there a pretty strong strategic plan in place prior to the new president coming in?
For Houghton University, the neat thing was before Shirley left, it was the 5-year, not the 3-year.
Okay.
And so the 5th year, the new president coming in could operate under that.
I got you. And have a year to develop the next one.
And have a year to develop.
That's a nice transition. It's not usually so clean. So here are a couple thoughts on this. One is the mission doesn't usually get swapped in and out with presidents.
No,
so, I mean,
right,
that should be enduring.
Right,
like
right.
The VA, that's one of my clients, the Veterans Affairs, to serve those who have borne the battle and their families. That's it. That hasn't changed in 100 years. The Air Force, fly, fight, and win in space. Now they change it to anytime, anywhere. It used to be space, cyberspace, air, space, cyberspace. So, you know, those missions should be on. Vision can usually go a couple cycles. If you're shooting to become something and you're not there yet, you can keep it. If you kind of get close to it or the times have changed, that can change every couple cycles. The priorities should be shifting. You shouldn't have such generic priorities that they're not changing. You should be a little more specific in your priorities. So priorities should probably be shifting. Definitely objectives and initiatives, because some of that stuff should be done, and then some of it's not relevant anymore. So when a new president comes in, sometimes they think, we got to change everything. And I don't think that would be true. I think there have got to be some things that are going well that you're going to keep on going with. And there might be some new things to go after. That's what you have a conversation about. So, but I like having some time for transition. I like having listening tours and all that sort of thing. And then collectively coming up again, say, oh, mission is okay as it was, or it needs to be tightened, or we're going to get a little bit different. The vision, we got a new one, and we got 3 priorities, one of which we were continuing from the last plan. So that's all. That's just some general thoughts on that. What else? What other topics do you have, energized group? All right, we can go over there. Yep.
We talked a little bit about the idea of you're talking about the national promotion.
Yeah.
I don't think we have the horses to carry that.
So you don't have the horses?
I don't think we have the brand to carry that.
Hmm.
I think there'd be a lot of confusion because we put this Wesleyan promotion out there and everybody's doing it, Illinois Wesleyan, Kentucky Wesleyan, have nothing to do with the 5 colleges.
Oh, that is true.
However, I think there's great opportunity within our body to promote. Right now, you see a generic picture of 6, you know, diverse-looking students and the 5 universities and the seminary listed underneath it. That's the promotion. It doesn't cut it.
Okay.
I think differentiation of what does a Wesleyan higher education mean, as opposed to, I said, like, why go to SWU when you can go to Clemson?
You know.
Right next door. So bringing that, if you can't differentiate that, then why should they?
Well, I think that's great. You want it. You want to differentiate, and I think you can. I'm sure you can find some good talking points for Wesleyan, but now you got me interested because I never really thought about this. What about other Wesleyans? What? How are you different? Is there an identity you have that's different from other Wesleyans?
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I should know that, but
there's like Wesleyan University in Connecticut that is hardly Christian at all.
Okay.
It's historically.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most states have a Wesleyan.
So you are serious about the affiliation, right? So, and what about West Virginia Wesleyan? Yes.
And so there are a lot of Methodist schools, which is a different denomination from us. We're
okay.
A smaller denomination than them. So our denomination is called the Wesleyan Church. And so Wesleyan,
well, you can campaign. So that's.
Is in our name.
But the mission and value.
But they have it in their name as well.
Yeah, but I didn't know that, Delaney. I mean, that you can run with that. You know, not all Wesleyans are Wesleyan. I just got goosebumps. That's the campaign. Seriously. In search of the true Wesleyan. I'm not kidding. And you're not going to have a fight with them, but you're going to differentiate that you're... it sounds to me like you could tease out that we are different from... We're different from secular institutions and we're different from other Wesleyan institutions. That might be a bit too much information for the campaign. I don't know that you have to get everybody on board.
The first like newspaper that was our communication tool was called the True Wesleyan.
Oh, that's why you reacted. Oh, I see. Oh, I thought you were trying to. I thought the True Wesleyan. I thought you were trying to go back to that. That's a cool idea for a campaign. I thought you were just trying to give me more historical context.
I'm going to throw like another like wrench into the whole.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wesleyan denomination is a great denomination. I'm so glad to be part of it, but it's quite small.
So you mean this Wesleyan?
Yes.
Okay.
Wesleyan,
yes. Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
Not that big.
Yeah.
And if we are talking about the kind of enrollment increases that we are talking about, we have to go after the Christian belief system families around the country that want to send their kids to a culturally
Agreed. That would be your macro. No. Your whole campaign wouldn't be differentiate us from other Wesleyans. That was just a bit. But in your campaign, you should be able to address that. Plus, we're also a great Christian option.
Right.
Yeah. Your target market would be beyond that, but you could still tell a story about the truth. Yeah. I mean, you would target all those people. With a message of the true Wesleyan experience.
Well, you could have right now there's a split within the Methodist.
Yes, there's a big split.
So you could have a target audience of the more conservative.
Right. There you go.
Churches,
and listen, if you do, if you hire a firm, they get all they you have discussions and they figure out how to get in front of those people. I love this. We're brainstorming, but who's going to actually act on this? This is. I don't know who amongst you is like, is anybody on that mega group that I already asked that question? The inter-university? But I don't know if you have the, I mean, that's probably where the impetus would have to come from, it seems like.
It's purely an advisory group.
Yeah.
The general board is the governing board.
Well, advise that you have a joint strategy and joint priorities and then act on it. I don't know enough to know the politics, but. Okay, what other discussions did you have in your small groups? Let's go to this table. What did you have when you were... I think you guys were talking about some priority comparisons and some things. You all had something written down. You got yours covered up. Is that so nobody copies your strategy?
Good stuff.
we could all pretty much state our mission.
That's good.
But not the values and the vision.
It's harder. That's harder.
The priorities got... to what the very nuts and bolts. What is it that we've got to be doing?
Were those more what you think you should be doing, or were they stated by your current institution? So you did have a sense of priorities.
Yeah, everybody knew what they were.
Oh, that's good. That's not common. And you represent lots of different institutions.
Too many of them, all of them. I think.
At least five.
Too many priorities.
Our president listing 10 or 12.
Yeah, that's too many.
And
sorry if your president's here. No.
I told him that, but he said they all got to be done. So.
No, yeah, but they're not board-level priorities. They're not, he probably has another 50 things that need to be done, but that's not for communication at the strategic level. Tell me the big ones that are game-changing, most important. I don't need to know that you need to hire two more janitors.
Well, is it we have to increase enrollment? Is that too practical? Or
that can be a priority, but it can also be an objective amongst something else. But I can't imagine not having some energy toward increasing enrollments. I don't know any institution. I mean, with all the stuff I told you about before, you know, if you don't, you're going to lose water. Now, listen, you can have a couple different approaches to that. You could increase retention, and that also increases enrollments. It doesn't have to be new students. Because some of your... Where's Oklahoma? I don't know what happened a couple years ago. Maybe the... Are you going to my multi-year forecasting?
I may have.
Okay, you don't have to commit. but I noticed that there was... Your graduation rates were really low. And in fact, a couple years ago, like, got really low. And it came back up. So maybe it's been a priority. But... you know, graduation rates, if you can move your graduation rates, you know, from 50% to 60%, that's big impact on student enrollments. So some people think it all has to be new students. No, you could. So it's both enrollment of new, but also keeping your current. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked. But no, I would always push back. If the president came to me and said, here are our top 10 priorities, I'd say, now tell me the top three real priorities. Because they can always add more stuff, but I bet some, and I would also say, which of these are strategic versus operational? Like, we want to talk about the stuff that will have the most impact on our institution. Reputation-wise, financially-wise, mission-wise. Okay. Sorry, a little bit of a lecture. Other insights from that group? Yeah.
I'm sorry, may I ask just a nuts and bolts question? Because it kind of came up over here. Do you have any suggestions when some of this language just isn't shared? So we're in three different institutions, and they use mission, vision, and probably not values, but mission and vision are used sometimes interchangeably.
Yeah.
So, and then priorities and objectives are not used. Do you have any suggestions or best practices for how we can help people use the same language or just agree to, like, use it in this room or anything?
No, I find this when I do strategy projects or I'm advising one university. And you know that slide where I had strategies down at the bottom? I call those initiatives. They said, our measurement people said we can't call them initiatives. We have to call them strategies. And I'm like, well, that's not a strategy. Use our terminology. I said, okay. So I put So I don't really care about nomenclature as much as long as you have why we're here, where we're going, what's important to our interactions, and what's important for the institution in terms of priority. But if you are all in a family, I would go to this organizing group and say, can we all just use the same words? But people will even have resistance to that. So I don't really know how to answer your question. Without some governing force to mandate it, you just have to...
We all can work our way through it. I would love to know if somebody's found the silver bullet to fix that.
I don't know how. I mean, the way to fix it is to hire someone to get everyone on the same page through training, through workshops, or one institution who is the biggest just says this is what we're all doing, or you got a system-wide guidance that comes out. So at UNC we had system-wide guidance. They said these are this is what you have to do. Send me an email and I'll send you the UNC system example, how they did it. Okay. Other insights or questions? How are we doing on time? Who's got the time?
10 minutes.
10 minutes left? Oh, is it 11:15 or 12:15?
Yeah, 12:15.
Oh my gosh, that went fast.
Well, lunch is not until 12:30, but the session was supposed to be scheduled in.
So it was buffer time.
So okay. Well, I hope you got something out. Do you have another question or
something? No, I don't want to delay lunch. But...
No, that's right. People like it if you take their time away.
We did discuss some of the changing strategies of the Wesleyan denomination as a whole. So we like gathering. It's called the gathering. Like we're going to have three conferences this year, the general conference, gathering, and follow. And traditionally, it's been a time when our brand has been pushed into those who attend. And especially our youth conferences have been very influential in bringing our youth to our colleges. They're highly represented.
Yeah.
But we now have strategic and structural problems because some of our larger churches can't send all their kids because our conferences aren't built to have that many kids from one institution. And it's just a different strategic day, right? Like, 365 emails beats one really great three-day conference as far as just communication over and over and over again, right? To get in the imagination of somebody. And have you seen any groups that have made that kind of shift from something that's pretty close to their chest, right, close to their heart, like doing conferences together, to a new day of communication and recruiting
that way? I can't think of any specific examples. I will tell you there's a new way to do it, and it's not email. It's through video, like brief videos and interactive videos. So that can be closer to and TikTok style stuff for youth. So there's a whole new way of communicating. Emails won't actually work to get to make the place. But I'll also tell you, maybe I'm old school, but I used to do retreats, and there's something magical about pulling people together. I would find ways to try to do that even in decentralized forms. Okay, great. I wish you well in your strategy work, and I'll see some of you in the multi-year forecasting.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.